But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
All right, hour number 3 kicks off. I think I know this tune.
The real version, not tomorrow's theme song.
Doc, have you heard the Muppets version with the Swedish Chef to this tune, Sugar Hill Gang and Rapper's Delight?
If it did, it was by accident.
Well, Matt and I have unofficially adopted that as the theme song to tomorrow's co-host.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
You know,
what's his name?
What is his name? Linnell the Lunatic?
I don't know.
Perhaps. Anyway.
The big guy.
And his name was like Longfellow Tidwad or something.
Matt, yes. Yeah. Longfellow Tidwad. I forgot.
Space Eater.
I'm trying to stay above ground here. How great is that? The Swedish Chef from the Muppets.
Job.
I mean, that is just the perfect theme song for our colleague and friend.
You got to play it tomorrow.
We played it for him before, and it's pissed him off to no end.
Oh, I love that.
Because you know.
I love that.
Because there is nobody more focused.
That's his new theme song.
There is nobody more focused on a brand than him. You know?
I love it.
All right. I mean, you might hear that again tomorrow. And perhaps Thursday. I don't know. We'll see. We go day to day. We're like everybody else here. We're day to day. Doc, just finishing up the WWE Raw Netflix conversation before we get back into the NFL. So you said, you know, I know your sister and your mom are huge fans. And they watch all the time and they are, you know, all fired up. But you were mentioning Raw, Netflix, the commercials, what have you. When you normally watch wrestling, is that because you're watching it on DVR where you can skip through it, right? Is that what you meant by having to watch the commercials? Or
well, I tape most of the things I watch so that I can have the ability to speed through if I'm rushed because I got to do multiple things.
You're a busy man.
But this one was one I caught on late and I thought, but it gives you a chance to still multitask. But it just caught me. I don't like streaming. I'm dealing with it because I have to.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be in control. They don't allow you to be in control. They're in control. So I'm not used to that.
When you say you want to be in control, meaning because you couldn't record it?
I can pause.
Right.
I'm in control.
Well, you can do that with Netflix. What I wasn't aware, and this is, Maddie pointed this out before the show, I've been touting, hey, man, the reason why this is great is not only does it get you a true worldwide audience, I don't know, it was like 250 million subscribers to Netflix.
Okay.
Maddie, what are you showing me there?
I actually have it on my phone. I have currently up right now yesterday's Raw broadcast that you can watch it, I assume, without commercials. I don't know.
I thought you said to me before the show that the replay would not be available until tonight, 24 hours after.
That's what I thought after. I saw. Okay. I thought I saw that it was going live Tuesday, January 7th.
But nevertheless, it's cool. I mean, it gives you just the idea of it. Same thing with the NFL games on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just tolerating it because I have no other alternative.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment I can get it back to what I'm accustomed to, being able to tape, you know, go back and forth, bounce around. Yeah. I have too many things to cover to be stuck on one thing.
I mean, if you're watching live, I mean, the only way it works, just like on Amazon Prime Thursday Night Football,
yeah,
there's going to be commercials, right?
Yeah.
Just like whether it's on Fox, CBS, or what have you. So the commercials do not bother me. I guess what I generally, and maybe this is because Monday Night Football is normally on, and last night for the first time in what 18 weeks we didn't have a Monday night game. So that's I watched bits and pieces of the Capitals. I watched before Raw started. They started at 7 o'clock in Buffalo. I watched the first hour. Saw Tommy Wilson bury the biscuit in the basket, all that stuff. But once Raw started, I went to Raw. I did not switch back and forth to the Capitals as much as I should have. And then I decided when Raw hit kind of a little bit of a lag for me after dealing with some family stuff, I said, you know, I need to watch the last couple of minutes of regulation of the Caps game. Overtime, and then the shootout, which ultimately turned out
did
to be
see
a shootout.
Did you women fight before you left or before?
Well, that was kind of like during. So I missed when Undertaker comes out after Rhea Ripley wins the championship.
Oh,
and
man.
I saw it back on social media. You know, WWE puts up all sorts of clips. So I did miss all of that live.
Did you miss
on Raw?
Did you miss your boy, the Hulkster, come out?
I did not miss that. Did you? What do you think of Hulk Hogan getting booed lustily in Hollywood? I mean, isn't he Hollywood Hulk Hogan? Doesn't he own that town?
Well, maybe not. That swings with the wind, man. It depends on who the flavor of the month is. But you know, ripping the shirt. I mean, look, it brought back a lot of old times. But it just shows you there are new players in the town, and the growth of the sport. Going all the way back to the 60s, 65 or so, being downtown in L.A., it was great. I mean, the arena, I was just so amazed at really seeing, because you got to watch it usually with the Clippers in it. So seeing this, it was just awesome. I was proud of them and what they've done, and now recognizing now that it's truly global.
It is indeed. Indeed. It was quite the spectacle. That building looks amazing. And oh, by the way, I'm not saying that that's what the Capitals and Wizards would have had when they tried to build a new building in Alexandria. Like, make no mistake about it. Whatever Capital One Arena is going to look like, I was told of some, you know, pretty sophisticated plans and all that stuff that people will see over the next 3 years. Whatever Capital One Arena is going to look like, it ain't going to look like the Intuit Dome in Hollywood, a new arena would have had a chance. A brand new arena would have had a chance. This remodeled new arena, not going to have a chance. RFK is going to have a chance to be the trendsetter, if you will, if they're creative and if they're willing to spend in terms of NFL bells of the ball, if you will, right? Like the Intuit Dome is now for basketball in the NBA.
Yeah.
That's what potentially RFK could down the line. Obviously, it's going to take a while. And, of course, we don't even know what technology and if it's going to happen. But speaking of which, did you see, by the way, Josh Harris, Mark Ein, Mitch Rails all huddled around Biden, President Biden, as they signed the letter. And they keep saying, you know, we hope to be a part of this. We hope to, you know, we hope. But this is great for D.C., man. They
that
are playing this politically.
That makes your wall of fame, that shot they're in.
Yes. But they are playing this, Doc, so politically coy, but not coy at the same time, if that makes sense.
Well, it's because it's not. It's bigger than one entity. This represents college football championship games, Super Bowls, Final Fours. This is way bigger than the Commanders.
WrestleMania.
This is so big. And the question is, do you want it in Raljohn or do you want it in the nation's capital?
Well, I think we know where they want it, and we know where the fan base wants it. The question is whether they can financially make it all work. But I guess now that this part is officially signed, sealed, and delivered, it wasn't lost on me. You know, as much as they continue to kind of just say, like, hey, we hope to be a part of this.
Oh, yeah. No,
they know.
You don't fall for that.
They know that that's pretty much what they're doing. I mean, again, I'll never believe
it
until.
Keeping it possible. Yeah, making it possible.
I won't believe it until shovels are in the ground. And even then, right, sometimes, like, building. I mean, I just watched. I mean, it's stupid. But in South Riding, where I live, right, there was a building that was built during COVID. And I don't know what it was supposed to be or whatever. They started knocking it down a couple of weeks ago, and it's complete. I mean, it was a huge building, completely demolished in Carolina, right? They were building a new Carolina Panthers daily training facility and practice facility across the border, I think in Rock Hill, South Carolina. They had it like 60% built, Doc. They had to tear it down because the owner, who's a pain in the ass, and whatever else happened. So even when a shovel is in the ground, it's not guaranteed. But, man, it wasn't lost on me that next to Muriel Bowser, who obviously has put this as her her legacy, if you will, of getting the Commanders, Redskins, back to RFK and back to the district, it wasn't lost on me that Josh Harris, Mitch Rales, and Mark Ein were there right around President Biden. Maybe I'm reading too much into the symbolism, but man, like they know that this is happening. They know. I mean, it almost seems like this is a foregone conclusion at this point. I still have no idea how they're going to do the financing, and I expect some complications. But Doc, it looks like football is coming home to where you starred and where you were a part, you know, of this organization.
I will say this because we're looking at 10 years from now. And you know it's all about dollars, even more than dollars. This is so powerful because it involves the NCAA. This involves Olympics. This involves Super Bowls. This is so much bigger than the Commanders. You got to look beyond. This is huge in terms of economic impact it could have for hosting.
Sure.
Not even mention soccer. World Cup. I mean, this is, dude.
Some of these events, though, is why you need a retractable roof or at least a permanent translucent roof.
Oh, this
should
be domed.
Yeah.
This is domed or retractable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because it's too important to the livelihood of this market that can attract world-class events. No, you just have to, you can't rush into this and blow it. And then again, as long as, where would you rather be, in Landover with a great football team or go back to RFK and suck? That's what you got to ask yourself. I'll go to Richmond if we can have a championship team. I'll drive there every Sunday. I want a product, not a location.
Yeah.
I'm not in the real estate.
I'm with you. I don't care where the stadium is.
I don't care where they play.
I just want more of what this is. Like, even though I know that they are not, you know, they're a 12-win team, and some people call them lucky, and certainly they have won a bunch of these games just in this phase.
Are the Chiefs lucky? Is Kansas City lucky?
To some degree, yes.
Some degree, all good teams are lucky.
I agree.
Because they force their luck.
Mm-hmm. But to your point, I would, even if they're not an authentic 12-5 in some people's eyes, I would rather them play in Guam.
Yeah.
I don't care where they play. Give me more of this in my veins, because
I just want to be really good.
Like, to be able to talk about a playoff game instead of firing the general manager or hiring a new head coach, while that was interesting last year, this is not just interesting, this is fun, right? We get to talk about not only a football game, but the most meaningful game that this organization has played in at least 4 years. And I would argue, because of COVID, because everything was so weird, and because they were 7-9 under your guy Ron Rivera in his first year, and really, you know, kind of were the byproduct of a crappy division, this is the most important football game this organization has played in 8 years, since 2016 under Jay and Kirk against Green Bay at FedEx Field.
Oh, God, I remember that so vividly. Yeah. It's the atmosphere. Our people are coming back in groves. Now we realize that most of our tickets were sold to our competition. that we were sabotaged by our own people. Now we've discovered that inside job. And what's good is just to be respected again and be respectable mm-hmm. and not be mocked and be a laughing stock. That's what's important, that our generation knew that. Like your son will have bragging rights, you know, at school and around his friends and not be mocked and have to go through what the big fella had to go through, you know, growing up. And that means a lot. Now, they stood through it. We got a tough fabric of young people, but they deserve this. That's what I'm most proud of.
You know, what gives me the most confidence is not just the ownership and not just where potentially the new stadium is going to be, but the guy that you saluted at the beginning of the show. I want to spend a few more minutes on Adam Peters on the other side. Then we'll get to clean up on aisle three and dum-dum of the day. Eyes are going to be wide open during that segment. Maybe. Maybe not. We'll let you know the details next. Coming up, soon on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All righty, with the DOC, we continue along towards 4 o'clock in the nation's capital. And beyond, always live and free, and also on demand on the Odyssey app. If you can't listen live, perfect way to listen back on Odyssey Rewind. Again, Matt's got it all labeled, carved up for you, hour by hour, segment by segment. Also, the team980.com is where you can listen as well on your time. We appreciate it either way. And if you want to send us a voicemail, like basically if you don't want to sit on hold, and or if you're a little bit nervous to be on live radio, or if you have a crappy phone connection, then you can go to the Odyssey app, Team 980, and you can leave us a voicemail message. And if it's good, we'll play it back. Maddie has already guaranteed me that we're going to play it back. Doc, Adam Peters, you started off the show mentioning how he deserves credit. I wanted to relay a story. I think we all know Adam Peters, number one, hired Dan Quinn, and immediately from when he said leader of men, while others were parading around, you know, doing Ben Johnson alerts, I knew Dan Quinn was going to be the guy. And he hit it right on the, you know, hammer right on the head, 12 wins, all that. They've got this brotherhood thing. It seems like a perfect synergy. We'll see how long it lasts. But for right now, everything seems great. But Adam Peters, you know, one of the things that I love about him, Doc, and I don't even know if I've told you this, but I think you're going to love it. Several times this year, as soon as I see him in the locker room, you know where he heads?
No.
To the offensive lineman group.
Not surprised.
And he always specifically signals those guys out and talks to them and, you know, congratulates them, wishes them well, whatever. After they made the playoffs last Sunday night in the Falcons overtime win, he took a seat in between Brandon Coleman, Nick Allegretti, and Tyler Biadasz's locker. And they may have, I can't exactly relay what I saw and heard, but there may have been a celebratory occurrence. Let's just call it that. But it wasn't lost on me. It wasn't lost on me. And I would imagine for you, an old school guy where everything starts up front, it's not lost on me that that's the first place I see him go. If not really the only place that I see him go. Because I don't see him sitting at everyone else's locker or with everyone else's group. But I do see him several times this year, including last, in it, after the Atlanta game, with the offensive lineman.
Yeah, for a DC at heart, he understands that that front wall of defense is who he has to defeat. He had terrific pass rushers a year ago in Dallas with two of the best in the league. And for him to know now he's going to have to scheme it up and be creative and have multiple different pieces, he treasures the continuity of a front five and offensive line. I mean, just forget it. Coleman didn't act like a rookie, but he's a rookie.
Yeah.
At left tackle, who played guard at TCU.
Yeah.
You know, so
I mean, he did play some tackle, sure, but he played a lot of guard.
Some, yeah. But, you know, TCU Hell, they won the national championship game a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. Big time program. But now we're seeing now a lot of these, oh man, SEC, big, don't, you know, what does that mean? What it means is that you had a lot of high quality reps, but we've seen just as many busts come out of the SEC as we've seen come out of the Pac-12, come out of anywhere. Is who are you and who are you fortunate enough to be coached by so you can get saved? That poor kid from Mississippi State never had a chance to play corner. Now, maybe get out there in L.A., and if he turns around and makes it, then you'll see right now. Then that's all you need to see.
Now, he did have a chance this year, and he still flopped. But
we'll see.
I guess for your point from inception. About the offensive line, though, again, this offensive line needs to be better. There is no doubt about it. As they've been banged up in the second half of the season, so has the run game gone downhill. The natural running game, or what I call, again, the natural running game, meaning running backs producing, not quarterbacks producing. But I wonder, as he sits there and he talks to those guys and he spends time with those guys, and again, I don't see him doing that with everyone else, and that's after a game. I mean, I'm sure during the week he does or whatever. I don't care. This is just after the game. This is just my observation. I wonder how much he thinks that group needs to improve, though, in order for this team and this offense to become truly dominant. Because statistically, they're really good. But I think we all know that they have struggled again in the second half of the season, some because of nicks and bruises, some because of other more important stuff, injuries, what have you, that this front line, this offensive line, while they have done yeoman's work in a lot of ways, they also need to get better. And I would expect that. I don't know exactly how they attack it because you locked up Cosme. You have Coleman, again, rookie, on a rookie contract. You got Allegretti for a couple of years. I would expect them to hit that harder than maybe most people are going to think. I think he's savvy enough to understand, yes, other positions matter, and got it. I understand that. But if you believe in your old philosophy, and many others still believe that you win a game and you're a winning team because of what you do in the trenches and at the line of scrimmage, I don't know how any football man could look and say, all right, this is good enough. We're good here. Nothing to see here. I appreciate that he spent some time with them and salutes them and wants to, you know, honor them a little bit. But, man, it's going to be interesting to see how they attack that in free agency and in the draft. All right, let's take a timeout. 3:32 on the Team 980. Let's do a final trending alert, and then we will get to clean up on aisle three, some of the situations going around the NFL, a little bit on the Caps as well. We'll see what else we can fit in on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, Commanders players are off today. Coaches hard at work getting ready for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this Sunday night, Raymond James Stadium in the wild card weekend round. Again, on Sunday Night Football, NBC. Of course, our pregame coverage throughout the day and Burgundy and Gold in-game live throughout the game. And then after the game, it's the DOC taking your calls, hopefully after a Commanders first playoff win since 2005. Meanwhile, apparently, according to the Dolphins general manager, Tyreek Hill did not ask for a trade in a season closeout meeting that the two have recently had. So we will see where that goes. Chris Greer, that general manager, in an exit interview, said he never requested a trade. Maybe it's just a little bit of frustration after a disappointing year, both statistically and as well on the field in terms of not making the playoffs for the Miami Dolphins. Tonight at Capital One Arena, it is the Wizards playing a little bit better of late against the Houston Rockets. 6:45, right after Craig Hoffman, right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Caps losing in a shootout in overtime last night in Buffalo. They're home tomorrow night for the Vancouver Canucks, making their only trip in, and that's what's trending. Oh, the Commanders are going to have to rush the football much better than they have of late. I think we would all agree to have a chance, and it can't just come from Jaden Daniels on Sunday night. As we head for the wild card round in Tampa Bay and Sunday night football, DOC, you will have the postgame show, correct? If I know our
yes.
our programming. So even though it's late, you will be burning the midnight oil. Late night, roughly around 11:30, 11:40 or so, right here on the Team 980 and 106.7
The
Fan. Yeah,
but I have the youngest in charge me, so I won't be alone.
Doc's not solo. He's got the youngest in charge.
Wait. Who's that?
One Toby Altizer.
Who's that? Toby Altizer. What are you talking about?
I just wanted to make sure that I had my names correct.
Well, who else could
it
be?
And my moniker's correct.
He's 26.
That is fair. That is fair. That will follow the Wizards and the Thunder game. We will have so basically how it's going to work is everything will be over on 106.7 The Fan, and Doc will be on, you know, of course, both stations with the other YIC. I don't know.
No, there is no other.
Oh, okay.
There's only one.
I don't know how to really refer. Okay. All right. I mean, you know, I want to make sure that I'm respectful, you know? I mean, I'm all about respect and, you know, not making fun of people or anything like that.
What is to be respected or disrespected when any idiot can tell that 26 is younger than 27?
That is true. So Doc and Toby, the real youngest in charge. Right around 11:30 on Team 980 here, and of course on 106.7. And during the game, you can listen to Denton Day and Linnell Willingham. and you can listen to their 2 hour and 15 minute pregame leading up to Burgundy and Gold pregame. Most of that, again, over on 106.7 because we have the Wizards and all that.
Yeah, they do a really good job with that.
Exactly. No doubt about it. All right, real quickly, wanted to get. You know what? Let's get to AA, Athens and Annapolis here.
Oh, AA. AA was boycotting.
No. He's always here, old, reliable. I think he knows who the youngest in charge is. Is that correct, AA?
Well, we'll talk about the victim in charge in a minute. But yes, Linnell's got nothing on Toby. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know, real quick about the game on Sunday. You know, this defense has got to show up. They haven't really shown up in the last couple games. You've had to rely on bad coaching, time management, and backup quarterbacks and things like that. It's been disturbing to watch. So if the defense can come out on Sunday, we have a chance. I expect the offense to play well, but the defense is it for me. But that's not the main reason for my call today. Chris, have you ever seen the movie Braveheart with Mel Gibson?
I mean, I've seen it, but I probably fell asleep during it. I don't remember a lot of it, with the exception of certain scenes. Yes.
What?
Okay. Well, he
I fall asleep
when they
during
go,
everything.
When they
done.
Go. Well, when they go to when he goes to the first battle, he goes, "I'm here to pick a fight," you know, in that Scottish accent.
Right.
So I'm kind of here to pick a fight today, because here's the thing: you are the Chris Russell. All right, father of Tyler Natalie, okay? Legend of WWE, okay? Best radio host in D.C. with the legend of the DOC across from you, okay? And by the way, I'm going to need you and Sheehan's help to do that thing for Doc in the offseason.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking
yes.
about. But, okay, so what I'm saying, though, is I give the Junkies a lot of credit. You've been doing something north of 30 years. You're doing something right, okay? But they're the only ones who had a Christmas party that people got to come to this year. So I'm here to lay a challenge down today to CK and anybody at the station that I guarantee if you have a Christmas party next year that you will sell more tickets, okay? I'm telling you, I got Paulie lined up to bring the tequila from 757. Sabah's going to come in and make a guest appearance with Sheehan on stage, okay? They're going to talk about the name, okay? And you know, you can even bring that person, that Lowell Linus Linoleum Winingham Sr. He might even, attract a few people. He does have a few followers. So it shout out to much respect to the Junkies for everything that they do, but I guarantee that if you have a Christmas party next year, you will sell more tickets. Bring the special guest Sheehan. If you bring Sheehan, we'll have to scalp tickets for people to get in.
Bring
so,
yes.
Just wanted to throw that out there today. So just want to throw that out to today. As I am Matt Essex's assistant, and it is my job and in my voluntary role to come up with ideas for the station and like little sound bites. So, Matt, I need you to go to Braveheart and cut up where Mel Gibson goes, "I'm here to pick a fight." So, you know, and we can use that like maybe down the road. But just throwing a few ideas out there for the future. And, of course, DOC will be there. He'll have cigars and, you know, chilled cognac rolling. So I'm just looking for good times in 2025, and it'll be a lot of fun.
You are the man. We appreciate you as always. That's our guy, Athan in Annapolis. Double A.
Chill cognac, but yeah.
All right, we have to do this. We have to fire up the sounder for cleanup on aisle three because we're not only going to clean up, but we're also going to break some news. I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. All right, Doc. Normally we just get to stuff that we haven't gotten to, and we haven't gotten to this. But this just in, according to Adam Schefter moments ago, and now being confirmed by other NFL insiders, the Las Vegas Raiders have fired Antonio Pierce after just one season.
Mm-hmm. Not surprised.
Do you say that just simply because of their record, or because of the Raiders' dysfunctionality, or because both. Of some other reason?
Well, both. I mean, and you don't. Tom Brady didn't buy into it. He bought a hell of an investment. Not everybody gets the opportunity to buy into the NFL. You can't lose. So he bought into it. But he can't be Tom Brady and not try to fix their problems. And most of their problems are upstairs. And so he comes in, and the first thing you got to do is get everybody on the same page. And clearly the Raiders are just, they're going in different directions. He's a hell of a good coach, he had them going the right way, but they don't win. And you still don't know what's going on there. Nobody really knows. That's not a way to run a program.
You're right, they don't win. But, Doc, this is an organization that, you know, now they wouldn't have fired John Gruden, and he technically resigned in 2021. So I can't really, per se, fault them for that. But then they hired Josh McDaniels, who then they fired a year and, I don't know, a couple of games into a second year. And now, and replaced him with Pierce on an interim basis, and then made Pierce the head coach because he galvanized the team and they fought hard and the players loved him. Max Crosby, Davante Adams, others loved him. They played their asses off. They give him the full-time job. And then they fire him a year later, and supposedly, like, some of that great goodwill feeling, that galvanizing feeling, had evaporated. There was miscommunication. There was all sorts of things behind the scene. Players weren't playing. They weren't as enamored with Antonio Pierce as they were. There were other things that happened in addition to not winning. Here's the sort of problem. When you fire coaches every year and a half, 2 years, whatever, not only does the head coach lose his job and his family and whatever, but there's a lot of other coaches that are at play here that now have to find a new home and, you know, so on and so forth. That's the human side of this. But also, you're talking about, in most cases, a roster upheaval, right? We saw what Dan Quinn and Adam Peters did here. They changed over, nearly 70% of the roster. So a lot of players have to find new homes. And I understand this is all part of the business. You got to win. I get it. But can we stop blaming the head coach for everything? And that's ultimately the nuts and bolts of what I wanted to get to. Whether you think Antonio Pierce is a great head coach or not, and I'm not in that building, and I don't know anybody really in that building. I mean, you hear things, and obviously some things can be true, and there can be some problems, but can we stop? And this goes for in New England with Jared Mayo, and this goes for in Chicago with Eberflus and any other coach that got fired, Robert Sala. I understand eventually sometimes change has to happen. I get it. But stop blaming the head coaches for everything. Please stop. Like, I don't get it, Doc. When are we going to blame, I don't know, dysfunctional ownership, number one, or players for not getting the job done? When? Now, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if this is a Mark Davis thing. I don't know if this is a Tom Telesco thing, who also took over as the GM last year when Pierce was sort of in place. But I think he approved Pierce. I don't remember if that was done before Telesco was hired. I don't know. But the bottom line is I know the on-field performance not good enough, but, man, stop freaking blaming head coaches for
Mark Davis has been the one constant.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to look at who's been there the whole time.
Yeah.
And seen it through. Now, we can't. His father was a genius. Can't expect a guy to be as good as his old man. But your job is to find someone better than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, to me, he's failed miserably at.
There
been some good personnel people go through the Raiders.
They lost 10 games in a row at one point this year. I got it. It didn't look good. They were winless against the AFC West. I got it. Really tough division. Now that Denver is back, of course, the LA Chargers. We know what Kansas City is. I just don't know, like, what else you want. Well, I mean, of course you want more wins, but for God's sake, what do you expect sometimes? You don't have a quarterback. That's your fault. Not Antonio Pierce's fault. That's your fault.
You got to know how to fix it. This quarterback head coach. Look at Denver. They were a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
San Diego. Well, you knew this, that poor guy was coaching like a lot of our callers. Coaching from PFF. Staley, he was the most ridiculous head coach in my lifetime. They on the 1 yard line. He's following some book, some manual.
Mm-hmm.
So they ran his behind. Harbaugh came in there. The Bears could have been in the playoffs now, but they had a little quarrel, personality conflict with Harbaugh. Now they're in dead last, and the Chargers are steaming. This is never going to change because you can make a fortune and be rotten in pro football. So everybody just brings their buddies in, hires and pays them, family members. It's a slush fund for losers. Unless somebody comes in there just hates to lose. And I think the Raiders are tired of losing.
All right, the Raiders join the Jets, the Jaguars, the Bears, the Saints, the Patriots, all with NFL head coaching vacancies. And by the way, Schefter is reporting that Telesco, the new GM, or hired last offseason, formerly of the Chargers, is being retained. The Jets and the Titans, who fired Ran Carthon today after finishing with the number one overall pick and therefore the worst record in the NFL, he was fired after just a couple years. The Jets have had a GM vacancy. Speaking of the Jets, I was reading in the New York Post, and I know how much you love New York sports, Doc. I was reading in the New York Post today, Doc, the Jets have requested all sorts of guys for interviews. Mike Vrabel, Ron Rivera, Rex Ryan did an interview today. They don't have any interest in Ben Johnson. They don't feel he'll be a good fit for them. What do you make of that?
I think they know their market, and I think they're right. And if I'm Ben, I'm not leaving Detroit without a Super Bowl ring.
He might get one
because
this year.
Because he can make, and if I'm Detroit, I'm paying him enough to make sure he stays there. Because if he's just leaving for money, I can handle the money.
Yeah.
He's got to know that if he leaves, he's never going to have what he's got there. It's too hard.
If I was Ben Johnson, I wouldn't take any of these jobs. All of these organizations suck.
No way.
And they have dysfunctional ownership weird people in charge. I would just stay in Detroit. It's not worth it. Not worth it at all. All right, final note here on Clean Up on Aisle 3. The Caps, with a second shootout overtime loss in the span of like 5 days, they lost at home who was it last Thursday
Buffalo
night?
They lost.
Well, Buffalo last night, but
night.
I forget who. Oh, Minnesota. I'm sorry, Minnesota. On Thursday night, sandwiched around a win over the Rangers. Ovechkin did not score, but Tom Wilson scored a couple of goals. Alexei Protas scored another goal, but just a little bit short, and they were kind of sort of flat. somewhat in between. Not a big deal, right? I mean, you get a point and you kind of move on and you host Vancouver tomorrow night.
Yeah, I like the 3-on-3 before the slap shot, but that just, it was frustrating, but exciting. Still exciting.
Yep. That is cleanup on aisle three.
Cleanup in aisle three.
Coming up next, we close it out and make way for Craig Hoffman, who's coming up in about 10 minutes or so, with this. Maybe if you're a mom in Concord, North Carolina, you shouldn't do this with your eyes. Maybe you should do that. We'll explain next. Normally, you would play this song heading into the weekend, like on a Friday. But sometimes blinding lights can be a problem if you do something like this.
It's time for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
Doc, a Concord, North Carolina-based mother accidentally glued her eye shut. Her daughter told WCCB in Charlotte that her mom wears contacts, and instead of grabbing eye drops, which you kind of need to put in with the contacts, which I've never had. I don't know if you have had, but it's just too much for me. She grabbed a bottle of nail glue instead of the eye drops, and she put glue in one of her eyes. The other eye she keeps closed due to sensitivity from blinding lights.
Yeah.
So now she's got a sensitive eye to lights, and she glued her eye shut and had to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
We like to make fun of people a lot on Dumb Dumb of the Day. This is more a, well, this is hilarious and
really
we can't
dumb luck.
But yeah, this is an accident.
But the best part is, right? She went to the doctor several times, went to the hospital. They can't get the glue out of her eye. It has to remain shut for 5 to 7 weeks, the story says. So she's now got one glued eye and one eye that she has trouble with naturally due to sensitivity from lights.
Yeah, those two items should never be within the same in room. They should never be on the same side of the house. Any glue item should be in your hardware area. Never around any kind of drops. Never in your bedroom. Never in your bathroom. Hardware. So you don't ever do that.
Yeah. Okay. You might want to do that. My daughter's considering going to cosmetology school. She's into the nails thing and all that stuff. Hey, keep the nail glue, I don't know, in the refrigerator. Do whatever you got to do. Well, actually, don't put it in the refrigerator. You'll wind up drinking it. All right. You know what that means.
Your Chris's Dum Dum of the Day.
Yeah, Maddie found that. I feel bad. But also, you got to be smarter than the average bear. DOC, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much.
Happy New Year to you
and your family. And good job. And I'll talk to you. Pray for me over the next 2 days, okay?
Well, you're in good hands.
Yeah. By the way, one NBA breaking news. Zion Williamson is available tonight for the Pelicans. Do you know anybody named Zion?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Craig Hoffman coming up next. Thanks to Matty Ice. Thanks to you guys for listening, calling, being a part of the show. See you tomorrow back here at 1 o'clock. Stay tuned. Hoffman next.
K-9.